Good morning. I've entitled my message today, "Who is my mother?" My mom asked me if she should be nervous about that. Matthew 12:47-50 says, "Then said one unto him, Behold," this is concerning Jesus, "said unto Jesus, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." The idea for this message came to me a while ago when Gina, my wife, asked me about Mark 10:28-30. Then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." Her question to me was, what does that mean? It says he will receive in this time an hundredfold. I believe Jesus was saying that when I become a child of his, I become a joint heir with all his other followers. We have all things in common. When there's a fire or a tornado, there's going to be somebody that's willing to offer me a place to stay. There's going to be somebody that has a barn I can put my things in. There's going to be yours is mine and mine is yours. We understand that we are family. We sang this morning, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." Since my father died, there have been other men who have been like a father to me. When Harold goes to Nepal, or Joel goes to Haiti, and meets another believer that he's never seen before, he doesn't meet a stranger, he meets a brother. So who is my mother? Maybe we could say it this way, whose mother are you? In Luke 10:29, a lawyer asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus had just told this lawyer said, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You know the commandments. What are the commandments?" He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, "That's right. Do this and thou shalt live." And he said, "Well, who's my neighbor?" He was looking for a loophole. And then Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, who even after the priest and the Levite had passed by and ignored the man beaten on the road, the Good Samaritan took him to an inn where he could get help. He bathed him, bandaged him, paid for him out of his own pocket. His point is that everyone is my neighbor, no matter who they are or where they live. Today is Mother's Day. And first I want to give a little disclaimer. In doing some reading and research for today, I came across a number of different articles, a number of different things people have written, both pro and con, about Mother's Day. I was pretty emotional in getting this ready, and I knew I was going to struggle today. I ask that you bear with me. I just want to say that I'm doing my best to be sensitive to all and not offend anyone. Or to be insensitive to anyone here in your particular situation. There's a lot of people here this morning. There's a lot of unique situations. Everyone's situation is unique. And there's a lot of different hurts. There's a lot of different situations and struggles, you might say, that people face. So we have Mother's Day. First of all, I want to bless the mothers that are here today. Your sacrifice and giving is often taken for granted. And today we say thank you. Psalm 16:6 says, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." I don't know how old I was. Probably, I don't know, it seems like I was quite young, 12, 13, when I came across this verse, and it really struck me that I have a lot to be thankful for. I realize there are exceptions to this, but in general, we all owe our mothers a great deal. As Harold said, if you're here, you had a mother. I know some of us have not had a real good experience with our mothers. It's mom that gets up in the middle of the night to feed the baby and change the diaper. It's mom that holds a child that has a tummy ache. It's mom that gets the band-aids out when a knee gets scraped. Mom has the cookies in the oven when the kids get home from school. Mom has clean jeans in the closet when dad goes to get dressed to go to work Monday morning, while she packs a lunch. And it's her that's preparing supper when he gets back home. She cleans the house, buys the groceries, helps with homework, hears "watch me" 100 times a day. Hopefully it's from her children, not her husband. Moms just kind of make home go. This morning I want to bless my mom and my mother-in-law. I do have a goodly heritage, and I thank you both. I also want to recognize this morning that not everyone that desires to be a mother has been given that privilege. I realize this actually turned into a bit of a personal testimony. I realize that it's very easy for someone who doesn't understand to say things that they think are helpful and to be hurtful instead. So I'm going to try very hard to be a blessing this morning. Maybe you've never married. Maybe you've experienced infertility. Maybe you are a mother, but you have no child to hold in your arms. You've experienced that hope and anticipation of a little life within. Then you hear the word miscarriage. And the joy and expectation and excitement turns into pain and emptiness and sadness and questions. Those pains and disappointments are real. And today we hurt with you. My wife and I know a little bit about, and I do say a little because I realize there are those that have gone through much more than we have. But we do know a little bit about some of these hurts. And I hope that what I share today can be a blessing to you maybe encourage you. We experienced infertility for about a year and a half before the Lord saw fit to give us a child. We know a little bit of what it's like for someone to say, "Don't you think it's about time you guys started having children?" Well, they have no idea of the questions and pain we're dealing with. We also know a little bit about loss. In August, it'll be 6 years since we buried our twin daughters, Hope and Grace, stillborn twins. We don't know why. We don't understand what God was doing and is doing in us through all of that. Those pains are real. But in saying all that, I realize that we have been given children. While it's true that we dealt with infertility for a time, it is also true that God sent us three healthy, beautiful children over the next 4 years. While it is true that we lost twin daughters, it is also true that God has given us two more children in the years since. So while on one hand I can identify in a small part, a small way, with some of your pain, I also realize that we have not suffered to nearly the extent that some of you have. And also not nearly all the ways that some of you may have suffered. And looking back on our journey, we both agree that there were several things that were really key for us to be able to deal with what we faced. So wherever you're at this morning and whatever situation you're facing, I hope that our experience can be an encouragement to you, can maybe help you a little bit. Number one is an unshakable belief that God is good and has the right to do with me and my life as He sees fit. Romans 9:20 says, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus?" I often think of this when I'm working on something and put one tool away and get another one out. If the first tool could talk, would it complain that I put it away and used another one instead? Last night when I was going over this, I remember I used to work for Ray and Vern Yoder. Many of you know them. Vern was always the fix-it guy. Ray would break it and Vern would fix it. Vern was always fixing. Welding, cutting, whatever. I remember one day that there was a bolt, and I don't remember even what piece of equipment we were working on, but there was a bolt or something that he couldn't get to. It was in a real awkward, tight spot. An ordinary wrench would not work. So he took a wrench that was the right size. And he heated it with a torch until he could bend the handle to the shape he needed it. He bent it until it was where it needed to be to do the job. I was thinking about this last night. I was thinking if that wrench could talk, if that wrench would have been able to think and feel and communicate, it would have had a lot of questions and pain. Why are you making me so hot? Why do I need to be different from all the other wrenches in the toolbox? Do you realize that you are bending me way out of shape and I'll never be the same again? And all the time, Vern would have been saying, yes, I know. But in order for you to accomplish what I have planned for you, this is what it's going to take. Well, why couldn't you do that to the 7/8-inch wrench over there? He could be the one going through this instead of me. Because the bolt head I'm needing to work on is 15/16. And you're the only wrench that will fit that bolt. And remember, you are my wrench. You are here to accomplish my purpose, not to be comfortable. So number one, I believe, and maybe the most important thing to know and understand in dealing with pain and disappointment and loss, is an unshakable belief that God is good and has the right to do with me and my life as He sees fit. In acceptance lieth peace. Number two, the understanding and support from others who had experienced the same kind of pain. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's kind of crazy how many emotions come boiling back to the surface. When we lost our twins, there were many people that came through the viewing, through the line. To be honest, I don't remember a single person from church what they said, good or bad. I do remember that we felt supported. I do remember that we felt loved. There are three people that stand out in our minds. One was a man, it was actually a couple that came through. He came through with his wife. They had never experienced anything like this. No way to relate, no way to understand. And he went on. I guess you could say he waxed eloquent about God seeing the other side of the quilt. We're just on the bottom. He sees the beautiful side. Time heals all wounds. You'll understand after a while. Giving us all these words of wisdom. And he meant well. But we were just kind of waiting for him to move on. Because he could not relate. The second one was actually, well, another couple. It was Kurt and Rita Stutzman. I didn't know them. And again, I don't remember a word either one of them said. But they had just lost a child. And they cried with us. The third one was a man named Don Brooks. Don has since died. He was an elderly man at the time already. He hunted coyotes with us. The only way I had any connection with him, I hardly knew him. At that time, especially, I'd go hunting coyotes maybe 3 or 4 times a year. Maybe see him that often. And I still remember standing here and seeing him come in the door. And it was a line all the way around here. And I asked Gene, I said, what in the world is he doing here? I barely know the guy. And when he came to me, I shook his hand and said, thanks for coming. And I remarked something about I wouldn't have expected to see you here. He said, 35 years ago, I lost a child. We lost a child. And I wanted to be here. Again, no words of wisdom, no fix it. I just wanted to be here. I say all that to say this. Going back to what I said, number two, the understanding and support from others who had experienced the same kind of pain. If you are one, and again, I realize I do not understand to the depths that some of you have, especially in the first two. I understand some of the loss. But in the infertility, in the desiring to be married, whatever it might be, some of those things, I don't really have a grasp and don't really know how to relate to that. But maybe you're one who can. Maybe you can relate to those who struggle on Mother's Day. You know the pain. You felt the awkwardness of not knowing just where you fit in. And yet maybe you've learned to cope. Learned some things that have helped you along the way. You may be exactly what someone else needs. Look around and reach out and help where you can. An objection that might form in your mind is, I don't know what to say. I have heard more people say that the meaningful things at a funeral, at whatever, those times when you need comfort, it's much more meaningful just to have someone there than it is those perfect words they say. You don't need to have perfect words to say. You just need to be a friend. The third thing, and this goes along with that second one, is reaching out in ministry to others. Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The third thing that helped us was learning to look past our own pain to see how we could encourage others. I mentioned Kurt and Rita. This is still very fresh with them. And everyone's going to be different. I'm not saying we all have to respond exactly the same way. But I believe this was only like a month after they had lost their child. They could have said, the pain is way too fresh. I'm not going to go expose myself to that. But they did. And again, not everyone is able to do that. I remember not too long after our girls died, we went to two different funerals for infants. They both happened to be Amish. One was over by Burr Oak, one was in Indiana. But people we had... Well, actually, no, the second one, we didn't even know we had a connection. We did find out we did then. We knew him a little bit. And I don't know how much of a blessing we were in being there for those people. We didn't know what to say. We couldn't heal their pain. But we could be there. And we found out that the more we reached out, the more we found others who we could minister to, the better we could face the pain in our own hearts. So whose mother are you? Or who is your mother? 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 2. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, thinking of us as the family of God. Entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Titus 2, 3 and 4. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. I don't think that's just talking mother-daughter. I believe that's talking church family. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Again, I realize I gave the illustration of the man that had all the answers and really did us no good. So I realize that I can be speaking what I think will help. And it's not. I hope it is. I trust it is. But I know that my wife and I have often commented to each other the blessing it is to bless others who have experienced, who are experiencing the pain we have experienced. There is a healing, there is a identification there, a sense of belonging. In closing, I'd like to read a letter that I actually, somebody sent it to me. Is Monica here? Monica had posted this on her Facebook, I believe, reposted it, and someone else sent it to me, knowing I was preaching today. I'll read it for what it's worth, and then we're going to close. The wide spectrum of mothering. Before I read this, I'll just say that I really realized as I worked my way into this Mother's Day thing that there's a real balancing act. There's a real tension. On one hand, we have mothers whom we want to celebrate. On the other hand, we have people who are very hurt, who have very real pain. So do we just not celebrate mothers at all? Do we give everyone kudos on money on kudos on Mother's Day? This letter, I believe, helps a little bit with that. The wide spectrum of mothering. To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who have aborted children, We remember them and you on this day. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you long for it to be. To those who envisioned lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who will have emptier nest in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who place children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. We remember you. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, I thank you for mothers. Lord, I thank you that you have given us physical families, but even more, Lord, that we can be part of a spiritual family. I pray that you would give each one of us, men and women, the ability to see where we can be a parent to someone who needs it, or a daughter or son to someone, brothers and sisters. Help us, Lord, to relate in a way that glorifies you, lifts each other up, and is a blessing to all among us. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, that you are and can be our all in all. Help us, Lord, to find our lasting fulfillment and contentment in you. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Thank you also, Lord, for this food that's been prepared. I pray, Lord, that you would bless it, and that you would be lifted up in the conversation and in fellowship over the meal. Also, the singing afterwards, I just pray your hand be upon this afternoon. We thank you, we love you, Lord, and we bless you. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen.